Building a company from nothing is freaking hard. Us entrepreneurs are expected to deal with unimaginable challenges and somehow keep a cool head through it all. This is The Art of Entrepreneurship, and I'm your host, Jackie Hermes. I grew my company, Excelity, from 0 to 7 figures with no partners and no funding. The Art of Entrepreneurship is a show where we cut through the BS and dig into what it actually takes to start and grow a company. If you give me your time, I promise it won't be wasted. Now let's get to work.
Good morning and welcome back to The Art of Entrepreneurship. So if you have ever felt like everything is on fire and your to-do list keeps growing and will never end, which is probably every day for you entrepreneurs out there, then this one is for you. Today's guest is Skye Watterson, who is the founder of Unconventional Organization, and she's an implementation coach for entrepreneurs with ADHD, something that we have never covered on this podcast before. She helps entrepreneurs build systems that actually work with their brains. After she had multiple burnouts during her PhD, she was diagnosed with ADHD, and she made it her mission to teach the science-backed strategies that helped her stop spinning her wheels and scale with confidence. We dig into tons of different topics in this conversation, but we talk about why high-achieving entrepreneurs often go undiagnosed, which is a really fascinating conversation, how to harness your ADHD superpowers without getting tripped up by their shadow sides. And then she provides a step-by-step way to prioritize when everything feels urgent or feels like it's on fire. So I'm really excited about this conversation and that you're here to tune in today. And thank you, Skye.
Thank you so much for being here with me today, Skye. I appreciate it.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So I'm really excited to talk about this topic. In nearly, I don't know, almost 300 episodes of The Art of Entrepreneurship, we've never talked about entrepreneurship and ADHD, which I think is a topic that not that it's become more popular, but it's become more widely discussed, right? As people have learned more about it. And I think, you know, actually getting diagnosed is more common. So you're an implementation coach for entrepreneurs with ADHD. Tell me a little bit about what that means.
What that means basically is that if you struggle with ADHD symptoms, whether you're diagnosed or whether you just know that you have those sort of struggles, I'm the how person, essentially. So I help you go from, I have these goals, I want to do them, maybe I have a ton of things I want to do. How am I actually going to get there, and how am I actually going to implement in a way that fits my brain and doesn't lead to burnout for me or crashing out in the business?
Okay. That makes a lot of sense. And I could see why those with ADHD need something like that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think a lot of us have those tendencies. I have one of my children is diagnosed, and I know, you know, what it's like to, you know, try to stay organized and all of that kind of stuff. And I think entrepreneurs are dealing with lots of this stuff every single day, putting out lots of fires. We were talking about that before we started recording as well. The entrepreneur with ADHD, I think, is a really interesting combination. I've read that the high achievers with ADHD are less likely to be diagnosed because they don't show some of the traditional signs, and like they might be able to keep up in school, or they might get the advanced degrees. Like you mentioned on social, I saw that you were diagnosed when you were in the middle of your PhD, or they find out a little bit later in life. Tell me why it's hard to identify in those cases, or what the signs might be for those people.
Yeah. So if you're an entrepreneur or a boss, you're kind of in this high achieving space. What this means is you probably found some way of coping with your ADHD. Our favorite, and the one that I did, was just working triple the amount you're supposed to work, basically being like, everyone works weekends, like they're all, you know, totally lying about taking time off, and just kind of going for it in that way. And, you know, if you're that person who's like, oh yeah, sleep is like a thing that I'll do later, or, you know, that kind of stuff, that's often us masking the fact that we're struggling to actually do the things we need to do within the time frame that we need to do them. So we push a lot of other things to the side and we'll just do this one thing. But that doesn't really work long term. So often when people come to me, it's because I work with a lot of people who are in their sort of mid to late 30s, 40s, sometimes 50s as well, who've gotten to a point with family responsibilities or the business has just gotten to big enough that they can't just overwork their way out of struggles. Be like, oh, well, one of the struggles we can have with ADHD is time blindness. So we can say, let's get it done by Friday. And it's like, definitely not possible to do it by Friday, but we managed to pull it out of the hat anyway. And mm-hmm. we were like, you know what? That's fine. I just need to work harder. And, you know, those kinds of things, or I'll just need to work by myself because I don't know how to delegate, because I don't know how to communicate how I work to other people. They want like step 1, 2, 3, and I'm going step 1, 5, 7. It's not quite the same thing. So these are often how we see it. They're just ways in which we are different. And there's a sense of difference. If someone says to you like, huh, you know, I never thought about it that way before. You keep surprising me with these new ways of thinking. You know, that's often a sign of ADHD.
Huh. Well, like we were talking about before, some of this sounds very familiar. I wonder how many clients you get out of podcast interviews and that the podcast interviewer is like,
it does happen.
Hello, I need help. Yeah. I think, and I saw some posts on Instagram that you put out that there are a lot of strengths that entrepreneurs have that go hand in hand with ADHD, which is the creativity, the ability to really focus in on one thing, the ability to be flexible, take risks, have a high amount of empathy, energy, curiosity. And you pointed out that there's also like this shadow side to all of that. So for example, those that have that really high amount of energy also might get restless or they might get bored really easily. And there's kind of a shadow side to each of those. Mm-hmm. How can entrepreneurs go about kind of like harnessing those strengths while keeping the shadow side at bay?
Yeah, that's a really great question. And the way I like to think about it is some people will talk about ADHD as a superpower. I'm a former academic, so I'm gonna be, you know, a little bit academic. So I will tend to talk about it as strong strengths, strong weaknesses. We have these amazing strengths. One of the reasons a lot of us go into entrepreneurship is because the ability to really focus on something and get it done, the ability to be really driven by dopamine boosts of like trying to make the sale, that kind of thing, creativity, out of the box thinking. These are all really, really helpful, specifically in an entrepreneurial context. In a bureaucratic system, they don't tend to be helpful, so they wouldn't even be seen as positives unless you get to a higher level role. But they do come with shadow sides, aka, yes, we can totally push through on Friday. You know, we can get it done. But then Monday is a crash out. You know what I mean? And we get nothing done and we don't want to tell anybody that, you know, it was a no meeting day, but did we actually do anything? No, we didn't do anything. So, So those are the, you know, we have these really big energy, you know, boosts, but also lulls. And so our energy can be, you know, a little bit less consistent than the Monday to Friday 9 to 5 that you might see in people who have more traditional brains. And then on the other side, you know, if we think about the dopamine, yes, we can really go after it. We can be like, nothing's going to stop me. I'm going to make this happen. And we can just push into the universe and make things happen, which is amazing. And I love it. But we can also do that when life is going quite well. And this is a real struggle. I often talk with entrepreneurs where I'm like, cool, you have sustainable revenue. Because what I teach is how to focus, how to, you know, get your time back and how to grow sustainable revenue, not just when you have energy. Sometimes when people get to sustainable revenue, they want to throw a cat amongst the pigeons in that moment. They want to go like, let's do something else. And it's because they've been getting a lot of their dopamine from their business and from the business crises, even the bad ones. And so sometimes we have to have a conversation about like, let's do something else. Like, is this a good time to pick up a hobby? You know, something intense, something you can do. You know, where is your energy with your time that you have? Let's make sure that you're not gonna sideswipe your own business, which can happen as well.
Okay, I have never heard a cat amongst the pigeons. That is a fantastic phrase. Like, I need to write that down somewhere and start using that. That's amazing. I do think that as an entrepreneur, when you get used to those kind of dopamine hits, because especially when you are a company of a certain size, like I'm still doing all of the sales. I had a sales team and then I ended up bringing it back to me selling because mm-hmm. when we're selling things like marketing services, it's a very nuanced sale. So here I am riding that, you know, the ups and downs. Mm-hmm. I think it's very easy to get used to kind of those highs and lows. And then when things are calm or steady or really good, you're like, where'd the chaos go? You know, yeah, like,
wrong.
Oh yeah, I know. And I think that it can very easily happen to people, like, and you have to definitely figure out how to funnel that into maybe mm-hmm. something positive instead of
yeah.
the cat. I love that.
All right, y'all, it's shameless plug time. I want to take a quick break to chat with you about Excelity, my full service marketing agency. For the last 12 years, we've been working closely with B2B software and service companies. Now we are expanding and looking for growth stage companies with a bold vision, but maybe lacking the marketing strategy or resources to get there. Or hey, you might have resources that just aren't working out. We definitely see that all the time. At Excelity, our team gets results and we have a ton of fun doing it. I'm sure you can tell that from listening to this podcast. So if you or someone you know is a fit, check us out at excelitymarketing.com or reach out to me directly on LinkedIn.
Okay. This is the topic that I really wanted to talk to you about when I saw the outreach for the interview, which is how to prioritize when everything is on fire. What a great topic in general, because I feel like for every business owner, entrepreneur, everything's on fire all the time. Mm-hmm. And you're constantly trying to figure out, okay, do I need to go through these 30 emails that are sitting there or these 10 mm-hmm. Slack messages that might be urgent, or I have a missed call, or, right? And yeah. what do you prioritize? And then when you're looking at all of those things that are in front of you, how do you prioritize those things that are not urgent, but are important to get you to yeah. those long-term goals too? Because that can be something that you really easily forget when you're in yeah. the day-to-day fires. Do you have like a step-by-step guide here, or what are you teaching
100%.
People? Yeah.
I'm okay. all about the systems. I'm all about the guides. So
Love it. Don't worry,
you're going to break it down. So, and I will say, I do give this away to everybody. I don't believe anyone should feel overwhelmed. So if you just DM me on Instagram at Unconventional Organization, if you send me the words AOE, then I'll know you came from here and I will give it to you.
Nice. We will put that in okay. the show notes for everyone too. And I will be DMing you immediately after this, by the way.
Awesome. So the first thing I want you to understand, and I think this is really important for us, especially when we have ADHD, we are divergent thinkers. What that means is we can take a little idea and we can explode it into like 100 ideas, 100 tasks. So your task list is going to be massive. The goal of your life is not to get to the end of your task list. It's not possible. What we want to do instead is we want to go, okay, what is truly urgent? And then what is important? And we talk about this in a very specific way when I'm working with people. What is the 20% that you can do that's going to get you the 80% return towards your vision, your long-term goal? So when I work with people, we first map out what that vision is, what that goal is. We figure out what that 80-20 is. That's what we're doing. When we talk about, okay, now that's cool, Sky, but like today I woke up and everything was on fire. What do we do? The first thing that I want you to do is I want you to grab it can be a journal or a document, something you're going to reuse because this is a filter. We don't make lists and just throw them away. And I want you to write down everything that is in your head as a task. So don't worry about your emails right now. Don't worry about your, you know, lists of previous, you know, bygone eras. I want you to go ahead and I want you to actually just write down in your head every single task that you have. It can be a, you know, it might be home tasks. It might be work tasks. Categorizing like that doesn't really work for our brain. So just put them all on the list. Once you have that list, everything that you're in, first of all, your brain's feeling a little bit emptier now, which is great because now you can use your brain for creative thinking, which is what we're great at, and you're not just trying to hold all these tasks together. And what we want to do then is we go, okay, on this task list, what is truly urgent? As in, if I don't do it today, there will be a significant external negative consequence. And the way that I describe that, I have a metaphor, I guess you can use. If your day went sideways and you ended up in a waiting room for some reason, you know, and you were like, this is my day, I have to be in this waiting room. What would you still try and do on your phone? Or you would at least message someone and say, hey, I'm not going to be able to come in tomorrow because I won't be prepped for that thing. Those are urgent tasks. Nothing else is truly, truly urgent today. And I've worked with, at this point, probably hundreds of people on this because I've taught this for many years now. No one has ever gotten over 5 truly urgent tasks. And so if you're sitting there going, I have 100 things to do, and now you're like, okay, I have 5 truly urgent things to do. That, first of all, is just a little bit of a weight off. And then we go in and we say, okay, now I have time because I have these things I have to do, absolutely have to do it. And when I teach you the full process, we also have like what's truly urgent in the next 7 days and a couple of other pieces like that. Now we're looking at, okay, what is the thing that's going to move the needle in your business? What is the 80-20? Usually it's something you don't want to do. And that's when we talk about how to dip into focus, how to do all of those things. But, you know, we talk about that. So with that in mind, what is that? You know, it's going to be something for a lot of people. It'll be like, I have to email a podcast that I love and say, hey, I'd love to come on your podcast.
Scary.
That's a thing. Yeah. Or I have to DM some clients, or I have to, you know, hire somebody because actually I can't do all of this by myself. There'll be things that are going to make massive shifts for you in your business. That's what you spend your extra time on.
Mm-hmm. That makes a lot of sense. I think people have a very hard time differentiating those urgent tasks. I mean, I at one point tried to have no more than like 5 to 8 tasks on my list every day. Well, you better believe that I've got 10 things not done every day that are just carrying over to the next day. And every day I'm like, it's so important. I am going to deep clean the litter box today. It's urgent. And is it the end of the world?
So many times. The amount of times people come to me and they say, Sky, you're totally right. I need to DM those clients. It's going to happen. But I just need to clean my office first. I've got the spark of inspiration. If I clean my office, then I'm going to be ready. And I'm always like, that's just your brain not wanting to do the thing. Should we talk about that?
Mm-hmm. There is no better time to clean and do all the things you've been putting off than the time that you're supposed to be actually working on your business, right? I think that is, absolutely, like the fear, right? And like there's so much fear of when you come to the part of growing your business, there are lots of hard things that we have to do. The pitching to be on podcasts, the generating new business, the, you know, pitching investors or whatever it might be. And that takes us
writing content.
Right. Oh my gosh. Right. And I mean, putting yourself out there to random strangers on the internet. I mean, I've been doing that for years and I still feel a little bit of resistance when I go to do it just because it's like, how's this going to go over? I don't really know, you know? And it's like, you have to really overcome that all the time. Yeah. And getting these systems in place is super important. The last person that I interviewed too was talking about systems over willpower. It's not about just like, you know, I'm really good at having the willpower to do these things. Like, yeah, having willpower is part of it, but you really have to have the systems in place to make sure that you're successful.
Exactly. Exactly. And when you have ADHD, those systems might look slightly different.
Yeah.
So when we talk about, I don't want to do a task, which is inevitably the next thing that comes up, you know, that's kind of where we start to get our time back because we spend a lot of time procrastinating is, okay, there's 3 reasons you don't want to do a task. It's too boring. That's okay. We have non-judgmental discussions about that all the time in our community. Yeah. It's too confusing, or it's emotionally vulnerable. Like, oh, I don't want to do it. What if somebody says something? And so what we do is we have a step into focus routine that helps you unblock those. For the first one, the one about, you know, it's too boring, one of the things we know from the research into your brain and how it works is that if you're more of a conventional person, then your brain is going to give you a little thumbs up when you start the task because it knows that the reward is coming. It's going to be like, this is great. You're going to sit down, you're going to do it. And then at the end, you're going to like have a break and you're going to have done the thing. It's going to be amazing. Whereas when you have more unconventional brains, ADHD symptoms, your brain goes like, this is boring. Why am I doing this? I don't want to do this. This sucks. And so bringing the reward to the start of the task and actually saying, well, first, let me just sit down at my desk. And we already do this. Everybody who gets a coffee has to have a coffee before they sit down is already doing this. You know, let's have a coffee. Let's read an article. Let's listen to music. And we kind of build up a little reward stack for you that helps you step into focus, and we taper it down from there. So there's a whole system to it, but you know, little shifts like that can help you go from, I just have to fight this thing and I'm sitting on the couch like on my phone being like, I'm totally gonna do it, to actually stepping into focus on a regular basis.
Very smart. And also, some of this sounds very familiar to me, the sitting on the couch. I swear I'm going to do it. Just one more, whatever I'm doing. One more reel about Love Island, I swear. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. You talked a little bit about procrastination. That's another topic I wanted to get into. Also, selfish question, because I definitely have time blindness for sure. And I'd love to talk about the time factor, because I think that when we are so crunched for time, or when we feel crunched for time, it's hard to get anything done or do the prioritization. You said that entrepreneurs underestimate the amount of time that it takes to do things. I think I saw that on your Instagram. Then you just mentioned procrastination, and I know that lateness can be part of it too. Why is that, and how can us entrepreneurs and those with ADHD work to, I guess, get through this? Like, what are some strategies that they can use?
The why is that is actually really interesting. One of the places people ask me where I get my strategies from, I read primary research articles. I do it actually on my podcast publicly so you guys can see it. But there seems to be some research that indicates we might just measure time a bit faster. So when other people are going 1, 2, 3, 4, we're going 1, 2, 3, 4. So we're just kind of moving at a pace that's a little bit faster. And so when someone says like, could you measure this? We will tend to, you know, press the button a little bit earlier, or in some cases a bit later if we get distracted. So we're very all over the place with time. It's very, you know, if you've ever seen that meme with the button and it's like now or not now, that's very much what we are. It's happening now or it's not happening now. So when it comes to time, first of all, if you've never done an estimate for something, I would recommend just off the bat, give it your best guess and then double it. Most of the time when I work with clients, that's usually a more accurate version of the time. It feels very strange because we're like, surely that's not true, but often it is, because you're not counting all the problems and all the difficulties that are going to come into play. When it comes to being late, that's a really interesting one, because most of the time we'll either find ourselves being late or being early. We're really not good at being on time because it requires a certain background knowledge of what time is happening that we don't have. We don't really know. If I say to you, like, how many minutes do you think this has been? And you don't look at the recording information, you're probably not going to have a very accurate estimate of how long you think the conversation has been, unless you've done it many, many times. So for us, what we want to do is we really want to externalize time. So putting clocks on the wall. I used to work with governments, and they'd ask me how to help people with ADHD, things like that. And it was very much like externalize time. Put a clock on the wall of the meeting room. Put a clock on the wall of your office. Have those visual timers that allow you to see time passing. Put a really nice, you know, they can be very beautiful. You can have these big time, you know, sand timers, and you can turn that over when you want to get started. It doesn't have to be a bunch of like alarms that are going off, and actually alarms aren't amazing anyway, because you're just like, oh my gosh, what was that and why was that? You know, it doesn't really externalize time. It just kind of pops out of nowhere. And so we want to bring time into our world a little bit more because we're not very good at estimating it for ourselves.
Interesting. That is something that I have never thought about. And I know like the Pomodoro timers and stuff like that are really popular in the productivity world, but just bringing time to be like more of a visceral thing for people, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah. Okay. I know we are nearing the end of our time, which I can see because I have the recording timer in front of us. Last question. Any last, I guess, nuggets of wisdom or sayings that you live by, anything else that you want to share?
Yeah, well, I think the biggest thing I want to tell people is you're probably working about as hard as you can. I think a lot of times people will say to themselves like, oh, I'm just not working hard enough. I just haven't hit that like next level of working. And when I get there, I'm going to be productive. And often what I find when I work with people is they are working very hard. They're just not necessarily working in a way that's going to get them the results that they want, because there's a lot of procrastination, a lot of frustration, a lot of time spent on the couch trying to get started. You know, this all counts as working in many ways, but it's not working for you.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I do think there's that bias of like, when I get there, when I get to this next place, then I will be whatever.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of value in living in the present and understanding, you know, our boundaries, our limits, and all of that good stuff. Mm-hmm. I really appreciate your time today. I learned a lot, and I know that listeners did as well. For everyone that's listening, if you got value out of the episode today, or you know someone that needs to hear this message, please share it with just one person, and I will talk to you next time. Thanks, Kai.
Thanks.